Hello, everyone. Welcome and thank you for listening to the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. If you're listening to this, you must be or are interested in becoming a fan of the great sport of sumo. During this podcast, my brother and I will be discussing things like sumo predictions, up-and-coming rikishi, matchups we're looking forward to, and even our own experiences in Japan. As a warning, there will likely be spoilers in the episode you're about to listen to. Rikishi pulling out of tournaments, who beat who, things like that. Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. Yes, that's what it's called.
It has been a while since we've put out an episode, so
yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, beat me to it. So
yeah,
we took a basho off.
Yeah, it took September off. Yeah, it was a good tournament. You know, it was Tarna Fuji's first as a Yokozuna. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not surprised that he won, but Hakuho was not there. So, I mean, really, is it, you know, was it a good win or not? I don't know. And now we'll never know because Hakuho retired.
Yeah. So we take a break and then the whole sumo world crumbles.
Apparently. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of stuff happened. I didn't really kind of expect to see him retire after September because he came back in July. He won in July.
Yeah.
You know, he had I believe it was a Zen show. I think he went 15-0 if I remember correctly. And he had that kind of Muhammad Ali, like standing over Tarna Fuji cheer, which I love seeing. If that's going to be like your final match.
Yeah.
You might as well have like something iconic, for mm-hmm. such an iconic career. But yeah, no, I was excited to see him have won in January. Unfortunately, he's retired now. It was funny. I was actually on, Twitter, and I forget what account it was, but there was a photo. It might have been Sumo Soul, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But he's like, "Oh, I've only been in, you know, watching sumo since 2017, and I remember when all these guys were fighting, and it was like Kasito Sato, Hakuho, Guido, Tochi Ozon, Yoshikaze," and I was like, "Oh wow, yeah, all those guys are gone."
Yeah. So many guys that are gone now. Yeah, like I totally actually forgot about Yoshikaze until you just said it, and it makes me sad. Mm-hmm. I miss Yoshikaze.
Yeah, Ikioi's also gone. I don't know if we talked about that back in July or not, but
yeah, I think we did actually.
Yeah,
we mentioned it briefly at least. Yeah. But yeah, it's weird how much everything has kind of shifted in the last, you know, 5 years or so since we've been watching.
Yeah, so then the new coming of the guard, the younger guys, and
yeah, because yeah, when we were in Japan 4 years ago, now, 4 years ago, right? Yeah, 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was 2017, November 2017.
Yeah, so in Fukuoka, we saw all of those guys really fight.
Yeah, I mean, these were the guys that were your Senyaku, Yokozuna, Ozeki ranked guys. You had Haruma Fuji, that was actually his last tournament.
Yep.
Hakuho won that Yusho. You had Kasino Sato, who was in his Yokozuna state but injured. Kakaru, 0-15. Then you had Guido, Takayasu as Ozeki, then Mitake Yomi, who's still hanging out in Senyaku, Yoshikaze, who was Senyaku at the time, and Tarna Fuji, who was 0-5-10, and I think that's when he started his dip.
Yeah.
That was the last tournament, was the first tournament that we went to, day one and day two in November 2017. I think that was like the last one he was actually up before his recent climb.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before on here, but I was really happy that we got to see Haruma Fuji fight before all that nonsense.
Yep.
You know, forced retirement, all that for throwing remotes and such.
Yeah, well, I think he like beat the guy and he ended up with a concussion, and I mean both of them ended up having to retire, and it was a huge thing, but like it was crazy to be in a foreign country when it was like happening, because like if we had been home and it was happening, it's like, oh, you know, no one's gonna react here, but like you could see like when we were like flying out of the airport, like leaving, people were like still kind of enthralled by what was going on.
Yeah, it was still on the news, and
because
it was rap tournament was wrapping up, I believe, when we were leaving. So
yeah. So yeah, and like I still have the newspaper from like the next day when headlines broke, and I think it's the Japan Times. But yeah, no, it was crazy, and it just like, so you know, those were your top division guys. You know, and then you have some guys who are still hanging around nowadays, like Aoyama was still around, Kaisei, Endo, Chiyoshima, who we'll get to in a few minutes as well.
Yeah.
But now, like, you look at how tiny this top Sunyaku, Yokozuna, like anything in that top rank.
Yeah.
Taro Nofuji, you're only Yokozuna when you had four years ago. Mm-hmm. Two Ozeki, Shodai and Takakesho. You know, both trying to hold together whatever Ozeki rank is going to be around.
Yeah.
You know, Masaki Omi and Meisei. And then Ichinojo, and then you got the young guy in Kiribayama sitting at Komatsubi West.
Yeah, and it's that the Sekiwake and Komatsubi spots have kind of just been rotating out for some time now, too.
Yeah.
At least one of them.
I feel basis. Like, yeah, there's always been that one revolving door. I think Meisei's kind of bounced between the two. Ichinojo's been here before, but it's been a while since he's been up here. Kiribayama's actually in his highest rank now at Komatsubi West. And then Mitake Umi, I kind of want to look historically, and maybe this is something we can do as a follow-up for next episode. Who spent the most time in either Sekiwake or Komatsubi? I feel like Mitake Umi's got to be on track to take that record.
Because, yeah, this tournament, he's Sekiwake. Last tournament, he was. The tournament before that, July, he was. Komatsubi in May, Komatsubi in March, Komatsubi in January. So, like, the entire year, he's been either Sekiwake or Komatsubi, which is super weird.
Yeah, so he's had 36 tournaments. 17 of them have been at Sekiwake. 10 of them have been at Komatsubi. Like, imagine 17 bashos, and you just can't put together a three tournament stretch where you win 33.
That's crazy.
But he's 142 and 100 in Sekiwake. He's had 10 bashos in Komatsubi, and he's only had 9 in Magashira. So he's actually spent more time and Sunyaku than the bottom 17 ranks.
That's pretty interesting, actually. I wonder how often, like, that can't be something that happens very often.
Where you're consistently inconsistent enough to be in the same rank over and, like, because he's like, he'll go 10 and 5 this tournament, but then he'll go 7 and 9 next tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah, he hasn't made Ozeki yet.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. He has yet to be an Ozeki. He has, besides Taro Nofuji, who now has 3 career tournaments, Mitake Umi sits at 2.
Yeah.
I think there's another couple guys who have 2 as well. But yeah, like, he would be your next Ozeki. And I think there's been a lot of hope for that. And he just really hasn't been able to put together a good 3 tournament stretch, so he could get moved up.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's looking okay so far in this tournament. As of day 2 when we're recording this, he's 2-0. Sorry for the spoiler, Andy. But
all right. That's my fault for not getting through the rest of day 2. I'm like halfway through.
But yeah, he's 2-0, and in his fights he's looked good. He was like, I know we were kind of talking about how we wanted to adjust the format of how we're talking about things, and like, he's a guy I'm going to be keeping an eye on pretty consistently.
Yeah,
throughout this tournament.
Yeah, I actually had a fun curveball I was thinking about throwing. So what I did was I took everyone who was ranked in Makuchi, Juryo, and Makushita separately. And I was thinking of doing like a sumo miser, like a randomizer, where we've each get drawn a certain number from each division. And then we kind of just keep an eye on them. They don't have to be something that we, like, someone we talk about, but we could be like, it's a good way for us to, like, see who's coming up in Makushita. And also we're pretty familiar with a lot of the guys down in Juryo too.
Yeah.
But it'd be something like kind of like a fantasy team we're putting together. That I don't think there will be anything that we win at the end, but
no.
could be fun. Could be another.
No, I'd be down with that. Yeah. If you want to put that together, we can talk about that next time or whatever. See who we end up getting now.
I have it ready.
Oh, right. There you go.
Do it live.
Yeah. A bit.
So, but we'll get to that with something else.
Yeah, we can wrap it up at the end or something. We'll do see what our fake teams are, I guess.
Yeah. I figured like 3 from the top division. I don't know. 2 from Juryo and 2 from Makushita. Like, it would just be interesting because there's a lot of people who have talked about a lot of the guys that are coming up in Makushita, and we haven't really dove that far down the Banzuke yet.
Yeah.
Like, we picked up a couple names here and there, and like, maybe we followed some of the guys in the Sadagatake stable, but like, overall, we're pretty much just like, once you hit Juryo, that's when we kind of pick up your name.
Yeah.
Which I think is the case with a lot of people, but yeah, there's been a lot of talk of a lot of promise, down in Makushita. So
yeah, cool. Yeah, so something to look into for sure by the end of the episode.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so continuing on a bit, so I did notice that what the heck? Why is his name escaping me right now? And I don't want to use his the slandering name. Tochi Notion. There it is. Found
it. That's who I thought you were gonna say, but
I didn't wanna use the name that you would know. As you know, not everyone would agree with us. But
correct. Yeah.
He's out, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, so apparently according to the reports, it's a back injury. And the doctor says it's 2 weeks for recovery, so it sounds like he'll actually be Cujo the whole entire tournament.
We said
the end of this year he was a candidate for potential retirement, because with an 0-1-14 record and at market share 13, you're definitely going down to Juryo.
Yeah.
Is he the guy who wants to fight down in Juryo? I don't think so.
Not with his knees and his back. That sounds tough to come back from.
Yeah. So if there is a retirement at the end of 2021, Tochi Notion will be that guy.
I agree. He's definitely next up for retirement based on what's here.
Mm-hmm.
I have liked seeing Ura again. It's good to see him back up.
Yeah. No, it's the smaller guys who are very good at being small are good. Like Enho has struggled. Like, he's hanging out bottom of, he's Juryo 11 right now. Like, there was hype for him coming up. I don't think it's ever worked out for him. Maybe because he's just a lighter guy, but like Ura is a smaller, kind of chunkier guy, so he can at least hold his weight when he goes into fights. And he's also pretty technical. Like, he knows when he fights, he's like, I'm going to grab your leg and dump you. But yeah, I like seeing Ura back up.
Yeah, I'm checking out some of his winning techniques here. Mostly Oshidashi and Yorikiri as usual, but Ashitori is 10% of his wins. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
He's 77.51. Oh, they added that to the official sumo website. You can see their overall records. That's pretty cool.
Nice. I'm always surprised when I go there how much stats they don't lack. And that's why I love using Sumo DB, because I almost feel like their official site should be this involved with stats and depth. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I get it. Maybe they don't want to update it like as frequently as, you know, a fan run website. But at the same time, it's like, you're the official. It's like, imagine if you went to NHL.com and it was like, oh, Bergeron, yeah, he's playing today, but we just don't know his stats for his career or anything. It's like,
yeah.
That would be obnoxious.
Yeah, he's a... He's a guy. He's in the Stanley Cup.
He's been in the league for like 20 years, but we got nothing on him.
This is the numbers. This is the positions he's played over the years. And
he's a guy. Yeah. He's a captain, I think, maybe. Like, but yeah. So I'm always surprised when I go there and there's minimal stats.
Yeah. And obviously Sadogatake guys, Kota Nowaka, he's doing all right too. Somebody I'll keep an eye on for sure, as always.
Yeah.
So I am not a fan of one Chiyonakuni.
It was Chiyoshoma, right?
Chiyoshoma, excuse me.
Yeah.
They're all from the same Heia, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Him straight up launching.
At first I thought I was watching something from like Houston. Like with NASA or something, like, because it was just he almost pretty much threw him to the moon. I mean, he killed the judge and hit several fans, and
wildly unnecessary too. And it was a Henka on top of all that. And he's done that many times.
And we've seen, and there's been a lot of like just kind of looking over the community reaction. A lot of people hated that because it was like, you know, some people might be on the fence with the Henka, like, oh, it's technically a technique, so you can do it, they need to be ready for it. It's like, okay, sure, but to throw a guy as hard as you did when you already had the Henka going, like, you didn't need to force him out. That's almost something like, you know, Hakuho when he gets cocky would do, or like Taranofuji's trying to show dominance.
Yeah,
like, you don't need to do that. but they didn't Henka. So it's like you got the Henka, you got the throw.
It's day one too. It's
not
it's like
day one. Yes.
It's not like you were trying. Like, I mean, sure, you want to start strong, I guess. Like, especially since you went 5-10 last tournament. But like, you
got two wins now, so I guess it's working.
Yeah.
But
like,
you're,
I don't know.
You're not like, you know, Tochi Noshin, who's like 4-5-2 when he's trying to get to 8, or I don't even know if that math works, probably not. But like, you know, you're trying to salvage your rank late into the tournament. You're like, okay, yeah. I got a Henka. Or like, you know, Amanishki is the guy that we always think of as like the founder of the Henka, because it felt like he always did it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're not like desperate on day one.
Yeah. I mean, he lost 7 in a row last tournament right in the beginning. So like, I guess maybe if you want to come out and, I mean, and to be fair, the Sadagatake guy seemed pretty vulnerable to the Henka. Since we've seen our share of Kotos get Henka'd.
Yeah, and really that's supposed to be something that you're not supposed to do, really. And so what's interesting is the Sumo Kaboom, who we all do the bingo card through, they actually had a former American sumo wrestler who I forget his name right now, I wish I took the note down, who when he was training over in Japan, he actually Henka'd someone during practice. And they were like, you don't do that. And he's like, wait, what do you mean? It's a technique. And they're like, no, you don't do that. You don't practice it. You don't do it in the stable. Like, you're not supposed to Henka. So I think even in like that, like in the realm of sumo, it's really not something you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah. It's strange because like, yeah, okay. It's a winning technique. Fine. It's not illegal, but like even the announcers, you can hear it like Henka. And they're just like, you can hear the disappointment in their voice because they want to fight too. And Henka's the easy way to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just looking up to see, I was looking over his percentage of moves. I'm talking about Chiyoshoma. I don't see the closest thing to Henka is not listed here.
Yeah,
this is top moves, but I mean that would be excessive, I would think. But he he definitely has a history of it.
Yeah, definitely not a fan of it.
He's been hovering around mid Magashira lately too. So I mean, he probably, I'm assuming obviously he wants to be staying up there, so doing whatever it takes. But yeah, day one Henka with that caliber of toss, I think he's gonna get it. He's gonna get it back at him at some point.
I would be interested if, because he's 7, I doubt Terunofuji would face him, but I feel like that's something that a senior person would do as a like a send a message thing where it's like, no, you don't do this.
See, I feel like that's something Hakuho would do. I don't feel like Terunofuji would do that. I feel like Terunofuji is just doing whatever it takes to win, you know?
Yeah.
And he probably, you know, probably has a, not that respect's not the right word, but like a indifference towards the move. It's like, hey, it's like the people that are just, you know, on the side of it's Henka, you know, it's a thing that happens. There's no rules against it, so use it. You know, shame on the guy who gets caught by it. I'm assuming that's his thought process on that, as he's used it in the past. But and that's not to say like Hakuho hasn't Henka'd and stuff in the past, because he has, but I just don't think Terunofuji is the kind of,
he's not
Yokozuna that's going to be there to send a message. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Like where like I could picture like a Takakesho or somebody like that.
Yeah.
If they were in like a Yokozuna role or even like a Matakiyumi or something like that kind of.
Yeah. Someone who's up in that Senyaku, Ozeki, Yokozuna range. Like I feel like one of them, especially like Takayasu or even like, you know, Takayasu, like I know he's sitting at 5, but even like he's had that Ozeki presence where it's like, Chiyoshoma, you don't do this. And like I think Takayasu is definitely gonna face Chiyoshoma at some point because it's 5-7.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be like day 4 or 5 when they face each other, but I don't know. See if Takayasu sends a message that day.
It'll also be interesting to see the, because he'll probably fight Kota Nuwaka too. So I wonder if something like will go down between the two of them.
It's possible.
Yeah, so that's another person I'll be keeping an eye on, just because I'm very interested to see the reaction, because that was again, it was more so the toss, really. It was like,
it was unnecessary.
Kota Echo was down and out. Like he got the Mawashi grip from behind and like totally could have just pushed him out. And it was like, I'm thinking of like a bad wrestling movie or something where they're like, they show like they got the camera below and they like throw somebody and they go flying over the camera.
Yeah.
Like it was like almost movie like, in how crazy it was.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't, it was 100% not necessary. Fine. Hinka, like said, part of it, but like you threw it into it. You threw him into a judge too.
Yeah.
Like that's the, like you kind of, it was a dangerous decision. Like you could have hurt fans in the front row. You could have hurt the judge. You could have hurt Kota Waco. He's a smaller guy. You know, he's not Enho small or anything like that, but I mean, what do you gain from throwing him out like that?
Yeah. So disappointed there, but not surprised. Terafuji almost lost a couple of matches so far too. He's lucky to be 2-0 right now.
Kiri Bayama gave him a fight on day one.
Oh yeah.
Which I think a lot of people were kind of surprised by, and I hope that's not what we get from the Yokozuna going forward. He's your sole guy. There's no Hakuho on the Banzuke whatsoever. You're the only guy up there. You need to now be the best guy in there.
Yeah. And Daisho had him on the run, on the ropes too. He was like,
for day two?
Yeah, right on the bales.
Wow.
For like the last 5 seconds or so of that fight. I mean, good on Terunofuji for turning that around, but yeah, that's two fights in a row that he's kind of been up against it.
Yeah, you definitely can't be having that, especially early, if it's like showing vulnerabilities for your technique or like what your mindset might be. Yeah, you don't really want to give that up.
Yeah, and with a history of injury too, like obviously it's easier said than done, but I would imagine you want these matches to be as short as possible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so like do whatever you can to snuff out those guys that you should be winning against as quickly as possible before you start getting into the Ozekis and things like that.
I'm really interested to see how long he can actually last up there, because I think everyone who goes into the Yokozuna rank probably has some kind of injury, but it's not like Terunofuji's had a noticeable injury where it was like he had diabetes for one thing, but then he had like his terrible legs. Where like that didn't happen with Kinsino Sato. Like he was injured pretty much like his second tournament as a Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Hakuho really, you know, he was hurt more later in his career, but like when he came in through Yokozuna, I mean, he tore it up. He wasn't injured at all. Mm-hmm. Like Hamaruma Fuji wasn't injured. Like Kakaru wasn't injured coming in. So like he's coming into a position where now he's the guy, but he's got an injury history. Mm-hmm. I don't know how well he's going to hold up.
Yeah, it's definitely something to watch for sure. I don't expect him to last more than a year or so.
Yeah.
So I could still definitely see a future soonish where there's no Yokozuna.
I can't think of that. Like I almost still feel like, I know Terunofuji won, but I still almost feel like it was a somewhat force in order to be like, all right, here's the passing of the torch. It just didn't feel natural. Like with every Yokozuna that's come before, I feel like it was like some competitive head to head, and eventually one just like, you know, worked its way in and the other one worked its way out. But with this, it was like Akuho was just not present. He had a couple matches with Terunofuji here and there. I mean, the iconic July fight might be maybe that symbolic fight, but like, I don't know. I don't feel like this was really a passing of the torch.
Well, he's got Wakatake Kage tomorrow.
Yeah,
the next few hours, I suppose. Not few hours. Like they start around like I think like 8 p.m. our time. It's like
So they got
like
about,
the really low ranks come in.
Yeah, they got like the kids pretty much fighting.
Yeah.
At that time, because we got in when we went, we got in like 12-ish. Like we were there pretty early, where we were catching. There was like nobody there when we went in.
Yeah.
But it was awesome because you got to see like a lot of. I wonder who. We got to see who's now higher ranked because I'm guessing like we must have seen like Kota Nowaka, maybe not recognized him at the time or didn't pick up on the name because he might have changed his name. But like I'm interested to kind of go back there and be like, oh yeah, we saw all these guys fight and now they're up in the top division.
Yeah, when I was there by myself too, I was there around noon too, so it's like I got to see. Actually, I think the first day I went like when all the kids were fighting too. I was there super early.
Yeah.
Because I got, because obviously I was super excited to go. But I like grabbed some food and sat there for like 8 hours and watched sumo. It was cool.
I see, like, to me that sounds a great day. I mean, it's pretty much what we did. We got in, like, yeah. I said, like, around 11 or 12 and stayed there until about 5 o'clock when they finished. And yeah,
my only regret is we didn't have another day of tickets.
I mean, honestly though, I don't know how often people get multiple days, because even like when we got interviewed, they were like, oh wait, you have more than one day.
Yeah,
like sometimes locals don't even get that. Like, how'd you guys as two foreigners get two tickets for 2 days?
Yeah,
it's like, oh well, I guess we just have a way.
But yeah, Fukuoka was awesome too. I miss Fukuoka so much.
Whenever I think of Japan, that's what I always think of, is going out to Fukuoka.
Yeah.
And a little side, go on.
I was just going to say, some people at work have been, they're not planning trips in the near future, but have been asking me what I would recommend, and Fukuoka is always like top of my list.
For yeah.
Sure. So that's some guys that I personally am looking into. Throughout the tournament, but are there any more you'd want to add to that list, or
I don't know. I mean, obviously I guess Abby is interesting. Because he's back from his whole scandal. He's climbed his way back up. He's won, I think, like every division he's been in since he got sent down. He took Yusho in Makushita when he was 56. He took Yusho in Makushita as a 7. He was 11-4 in Juryo 14, and then he took the Yusho in Juryo for his second overall time, winning that as Juryo 5, and now he's up in Magashira 14 or 15.
So clearly talented.
Like, yes, he needs to stop doing the out of ring stuff, and that's what happens a lot with like local players or like U.S. based players, where it's like, dude, you're such a talent on the field. Stop doing the dumb things off the field.
Yeah,
like off the ice, like just stop. You got way too much talent to be doing dumb-headed stuff. But yeah, so I'd be interested to see. And he looks like he's actually put on a little bit of weight too. And I think he came out and said that, like, he pretty much apologized for what he did. He understood, like, what he did was wrong. And I don't know, maybe we see Yabi rise again. He's 2-0. I actually think I took him in Jason's sumo contest as well. As much as I don't like Yabi, I think he's the better of the lower division guys that are sitting down there.
Yeah, I think he's definitely the best guy from like 10 down. I would say he's probably the best guy down there.
Yeah, and I think, let's see. So looking at Jason, how we really got into sumo, he put out a graph of his 757 responses that he's got. 46.4% of people selected Abby from that group of Magashira 12 down to 17. And then your next highest is Hokuto Fuji, followed by Tochi Noshin at 11.1. But obviously he's out, so those people probably got the repick, and we don't have those numbers available. But
yeah,
a lot of people can see the talent with Abby. He just needs to stop being a clown, and he needs to apologize for hankering Kota Shibuku. So.
Yeah, still salty.
Yeah, still salty. I still taste that flavor. That happens. But yeah, I mean, there's no one else really that I'm like super interested in seeing how they do. I mean, some of them I think will, like, I think Abby's going to tear up Magashira 12 through 17, 6 through 11. I think I'll go with Ura again. I think he'll do pretty well there. I also like Toby Zaru amongst that group. And then your Magashira 1 through 5, Wakataka Kage and Ono Sho are probably my two guys there. And then in your Senyaku, Matakiomi and maybe Ichinojo.
Ichinojo will be interesting to see. I mean, he's always like, I mean, and I was just thinking, like, I feel like we always kind of talk about the same guys, but that's because they're the only ones I feel like that are consistently relevant. You know what I mean? It's like, they're doing something interesting. A lot of the other guys in Magashira these days are just floating around with their, you know, their nines and sixes or whatever, and moving up a heat rank here, losing a couple ranks there, and you know, nobody's really standing out to me. It's like, other, like, think about Abby compared to a lot of the other guys in here. Like, even like Kota Nwaka is fun to talk about just because we like him, but you know what I mean? It's not like he's crushing the ranks by any means.
Correct. And no one really has. Like, I'm waiting for that one person to just, like, because we never got to see Akaho's climb.
Yeah.
I wish we had, though, because just the dominance that he was showing at just such a low rank, and then he just moved his way up. He was, like, you know, 16 to 7 to Senyaku to Yokozuna. Like, I think he was only in non-Yokozuna rank for, like, 8 tournaments or something. It's something, like, ridiculously low. Where, like, we haven't seen anyone really even come close to being that dominant. Like, Terunofuji's not that good. And no young guys really showed any flashes of that either.
Yeah. I mean, Terunofuji's, like, recent climb was obviously impressive. But
he's,
like,
had the experience. Like, we're talking about, right, like, Akuho coming up and, like, battling veterans and, like, making his way up. It's like, imagine Connor McDavid, like, his first season in the NHL, and he's, like, scoring and schooling all these veteran defenders.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it took him a couple of years. I mean, obviously, he's a stud, so it doesn't matter. But,
yeah,
like, we're not seeing anybody in Suma who's really, like, oh, okay, look out for that guy. He was, you know, 12-3 this tournament, because most likely next tournament he's got to go 6-9.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't like foresee Abi, like, smoking Terunofuji. You know what I mean? It's like, he's good, but he's, you know, kind of a big fish in a small pond at the moment kind of thing. Yeah. So, but we'll see. I don't know. If he tears it up, there's a chance that he could end up facing Terunofuji. So,
yeah, I mean, we saw that a couple tournaments ago, where there was a 16 or a 17 that had to face, like, a Yokozuna or an Ozeki. So it's not far-fetched to, and Abi's been up there before. Mm-hmm. So he's got that experience where, like, you know, if he goes, you know, 10-0, 11-0, they're probably going to skip, you know, throw him up against a 1-3 guy on one of those days, and then maybe a Senyaku guy, and see if he can kind of hang. But so to go back to Hakuho, he's spent 19 tournaments outside of Yokozuna, and then 84 in.
Jeez, that's crazy. It's so ridiculous. It's like everything else is, like, a waste of time for him. And then...
yeah. He had, Sakiwake, he had 2 Junyu shows, so that's runner-up. Komusubi, he had 1. Magashira, he had 1 Junyu show. As an Ozeki, he had 3, and then obviously he has 42 as a Yokozuna.
Man, yeah, he's, like...
he's a freak.
Like the Michael Jordan, the Wayne Gretzky, and the Tom Brady all combined of sumo. Like, it's nuts. Like,
that's how I always, like, when I talk about him, I always think of, like, individual sports and how great people are. And I'm like, yeah, he's the Tiger Woods, the Roger Federer of, like, individual sports, because he's just ridiculous. Like, he has all of these championships. No one can really reach him. I mean, honestly, he's probably better than, like, most single sport, like, non-team sport athletes. Because his records are just so out there that I don't know if anyone's ever going to catch him.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem possible for someone to be like, yeah, I'm going to win 43 tournaments.
So just crazy. Yeah, I was just looking at Terunofuji. He's got, like, 5, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah. like right now, that's your leaderboard is 5 for Terunofuji. And then there's, like, Matakiyomi. Takakesho's got 1 under his – or 2 under his belt, I believe. Like, a couple guys down in Juryo. So, like, you know, you're really looking at Terunofuji has the best guy right now in the field.
Yeah. And that's on a busted up foundation, I feel like. So,
yeah, it's not something that's going to be sustained. Like, I don't see him going on, like, a 5-year Yokozuna run. He's probably got, like, at most, if he can stay healthy, maybe 2 years. But I really think it's going to be, like, closer to a year. Mm. Where, like, you know, going into 2023. Maybe he's considering retirement. I mean, or he has to be forced to retire now that he's a Yokozuna.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, do we want to talk about some of the craziness that we've been entered into? Because it's cool for, like, other people to know that these kind of things exist too. Like Jason's, but basically how that functions, and, like, Jason's also, even though he is retiring.
Yeah. Yeah, I
speaking of retiring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, Jason, he put out a YouTube video for it, but it's sumo_Jason on Twitter. If you guys don't follow him, you really should. He's got a lot of knowledgeable stuff. But yeah, I mean, he's the reason that we got into sumo. He's the reason that we got a chance to go meet Kota Shigiku and go to the Sadagatake stable. Like, maybe we might have found another channel, but you originally started watching Jason, right?
Is that I can't remember exactly. I just randomly got the idea to watch sumo one day. Mm-hmm. And I found, like, on the official sumo website, they had like a stream you could pay like 400 yen for it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this was before I went to Japan, so I was like, oh yeah, whatever, like, let me check it out. And I like stayed up really late one night and watched it until like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I had no idea what I was watching. But then they had like VODs of it, so I could like go back and watch the stuff during the day. But yeah, it's like, that's where I started. And then I was like, okay, well, I have no idea what they're saying. I should probably learn a little bit about the sport. And that's when I found Jason's channel. Because I had no idea what was going on until, like, I didn't know the ins and outs and the who's really until Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, he's only got, I think he said January and March are going to be his last two. He thinks March. But either way, I mean, there's a lot of communities out there that provide commentary, and I don't know if something
there's will so change. Much more now. Yeah.
There's a lot more, and there's like communities on Discord, and you know, there's definitely ways around, you know, watching sumo now, even versus when I started watching in 2014, 2015. Mm. But yeah, so it's definitely sad to see Jason retiring. He put out a video, so if there's more details there, but he's just moving back to the US. That's all I'll say. But yeah, so he's had a game going, and we kind of went into it, the divisions. You can go pick the divisions in there, and he'll acknowledge who won. It's really cool to kind of follow that.
Yeah, it's like basically like you pick, like you get like the sum of your best records, right? That's pretty much what it is. You pick a guy from like 17 to 10, and then 9 to 5, and then like the upper ranks.
Correct. Yeah. So it's Sekiwake and Komasubi, Magashira 1 through 5, Magashira 6 through 11, and then 12 through 17. I think there's also Yokozuna and Ozeki. I'm pretty sure he still put that in there, even though there's only 3 guys up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's best of your records. He'll give you updates on how things are going on his channel. He'll mention your name, your team name, whatever you want it to be. But yeah, so that's been cool. It's something that we've done for a while. Then the new one.
Who'd you pick this one? This time?
So I think.
I didn't think I actually asked you. So.
No, I think the top, between the Yokozuna and Ozeki, I went with Takakesho. The Sakewaki and Komasubi, I went with Mataki Omi. Because I don't really trust Ichinojo to have a great record up there. Kiribayama is still young. And Meisei's done pretty good lately. But I think my pick is actually working out, because Mataki Omi's 2-0, Meisei's 0-2. So far, so good. For 1 through 5, I think I went with Wakatakakage. Really the only other person I like in that group. There is Daisho, Onosho, Takanosho, Okunomi, Miyogiru, Takara Fuji, and Endo. So I'm pretty sure I went with Wakatakakage from that group. Mm. 6 through 11, I went with Ura. And then 12 through 17, as I mentioned, I went with Abi. As much as I don't like that, I just don't like any of the other guys that are down there to have a better record than him.
Yeah, makes sense. No, yeah. I was curious, but yeah, that makes sense. I think those are pretty solid picks, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the obvious choice. And even looking at like the Jason's, the numbers that he posted, I think most of the community also voted for all of those guys too.
Wakatakakage was picked by a lot of people, huh?
Yeah. So Wakatakakage was, actually, he was only 14.8%, which was the third highest percentage. The highest person there was Daisho, followed by Takara Fuji. I think I can't tell the color difference. Let me zoom in on this. No, Wakatakakage was the second, I think, at 20.6. I don't know. I can't. The two colors seem similar, but he was at least one of the top 3 picked guys in that division.
Makes me feel better that other people like Wakatakakage too.
Yeah. I don't know if it's name based because it's an awesome name, or if it's just his style of fighting, and you know, he's kind of wily, but And he's also kind of the Ozeki killer. Like, he has a lot of fights against Ozeki. He competes very well. He hangs in there. But yeah, so that's a smart choice.
Alrighty. Yeah. So get me talk to me about this the Soul Sumo one.
Yeah, so Soul Sumo, another great resource for all things sumo. They do spoilers as a heads up, so if you do go to their Twitter account.
The Sumo Soul or Soul Sumo? I think I got you to say it backwards, I think.
So it's the Sumo Soul
Okay, there it is.
on Twitter. And yeah, they post daily videos. They do even stuff down to like Makushita too. So there's some highlights. I think they pick out their favorite wrestlers from the division. But they put together a competition, and maybe they've done it in the past, and I just haven't noticed it, where you submit, just leave a comment in their comment section on the post, and you can pick a record for a wrestler. And they'll probably just acknowledge whoever got closest or whoever picked exactly. It's just a little fun contest for the community. But I went with Endo going 6-9.
That's a safe bet. That's
Yeah.
that sounds like an Endo record based on his rank at Makushita 4.
Well, it's interesting because everyone looking at everyone else here, and these are predictions from, I think right here, when I picked, there was still Endo, Takada Fuji, Shimano Omi, Tamawashi, Hidenomi, Kagayaki, Chiyomaru, and Chinokuni. So those were the remaining guys. I went with Endo. I think he was the highest ranked available or second highest ranked. But all but four of them were predicted to have winning records. So I was one of the
Yeah.
four people who picked losing records. Like I said, those ones are still blank for me because I haven't gotten an up-to-date spreadsheet on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of like 8-7, 10-5, 10-5, 9-6, 11-4, 14-1 for Takada
It's like
Fuji.
everyone's gonna have a winning record based on this.
Yeah. So your losers for the for people who predicted, I'm not going to say any of the usernames. Like Ichinojo sitting at 6-9. I think that's a reasonable loss record. I picked Endo to also go 6-9. Chiyoshima going 7-8. I know right now you're looking for him to go now 2-13. And maybe by the time this episode airs or be posted, he might have a win or a loss. So hopefully. Chiyotaro 6-9.
Think Takakesho at 11-4 is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. But like all those losses seem reasonable, but then everyone else has winning records. And I don't know if people are just afraid of picking a losing record to be like they don't want to be negative, or if they don't want to reflect that they don't have like faith in that person. But it's like you got to look at the kind of person that they are and how they compete.
I
And
think like Abby, I could see being 11-4 too.
yeah, I completely see. Oh, a lot. Abby here is 6-9,
He's 9-6.
or nine and six. There, I've been, yeah, getting things backwards. But yeah,
But
like he could. I mean, even if he's like 10-5, like 9-6, I think he could do way better than 9-6 potentially, and just
someone's
tear
got
up that lower division.
Toby Zaro at 6-9. I'd be surprised if he went 6-9 and not something closer to like a 7-8 or 8-7.
Yeah.
I mean, not that seven and eight is that far off from 6-9, but
Yeah. Like you have Hosh, like Hoshoryu apparently could be an interesting one, and this is something we'll have to keep an eye on. If depends on whose channel you watch, and but apparently Asashoryu, his uncle, who's been very vocal about the handling of Hakuho, that he had some thoughts on Taran Fuji being promoted. And he's also been like pretty just open about Hoshoryu, his nephew, and how he's competing. But he's supposed to be going down to Fukuoka, so there's a chance you might be able to see the former Yokozuna in the crowd, or if they interview him or something. So it could be cool to keep an eye on that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, I think that's actually pretty fun. I might try to, I mean, next time when that comes up, we should pick it together. I think that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the last one is the bingo card. So it's from Sumo Kaboom. My center item is Shohozan. Not super confident about that one. At least it's not Tochi no Shin, who is actually fourth row, second column for us. So that could have been bad, but that already eliminates those two columns and that row and column, which is unfortunate. But looking at those two, I don't know if there was a whole bunch of promise in really any of those columns to like go on a tear and make something collectively. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just glad. I think there was someone who actually posted on it and was like, yep, got Toji Notion as my center. So that eliminates like four or five possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like a, it's a cool thing that they do too. So it's, you know, whoever, as they get winning records, the, you know, your bingo card fills up.
Yep.
So that's pretty clever. So
yeah. And they have both a, so, and since we started following, they've developed it a little bit. They've changed it. Before it was just if, you know, if you were the first person to post your winning record, you got the prize. Like if you're, not a winning record, like if all your wrestlers had a winning record, you got bingo, you got the prize. So you'd have to get the Kachikoshi in order to win it. They now do a Makikoshi as well, where if you have a losing record bingo card, you can also win a prize.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's like, you can be a winner, but at the same time, cause I think that you don't want to, like, if you know your bingo card's going to be crap, like that loses half the interest of like, oh, well, I'm not going to play bingo anymore.
Yeah.
But like, so this kind of keeps you entertained where it's like, oh, well, I kind of hope Okunomi loses because the rest of the row is bad. So
yeah. Can it be a combo of the two? Or is it,
I don't
just
think
have
so.
To be,
I think it has to be either winning or a losing record for your row or column.
Yeah.
But yeah, either way, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of great community games out there.
Yeah, like that's just like, you know, to go back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, it's just like none of this existed when we started. So like, it's really cool to see, you know, how much it's grown over the years.
Yeah,
in America at least. So
yeah, there's a huge, huge community. You know, like even just like online presence, I feel like has gotten bigger too, with just more people being internationally invested and really spreading the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
the subreddit's pretty cool too.
Subreddit's a great place. You know, they have a lot of informative videos that maybe we haven't seen, or you know, people like to ask questions. So it's a great place to go if you're like a beginner and you're just trying to figure out what's going on. That's a great resource.
For sure. Cool. Well, what else we got? We want to do the we'll pick our teams now that we've talked about
yeah. I mean, we can go ahead. So I have a
said like the wheel, using like a wheel thing.
No, I just random.org. Nothing super sophisticated. Let me make sure I have the right spreadsheet. I got this. Now, how many from each division? I only went with the top three divisions, just because I don't want to go down to like Jonidan and Sananme. But what is interesting is, I don't know if you saw on the Banzuke, but if you go down to Makushita 15, there's actually a TD, Oshoma. He was the one who won like the junior sumo tournament out of high school.
Oh.
And if he ever goes professional, he starts at Makushita 15.
Oh. Interesting.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. So if one of us accidentally draw his name, obviously we're going to skip over it, or actually probably just delete it. It's probably easier that way. But yeah, so he won the tournament, and I don't know if that's like a forever spot or if there's like a limit, like you have a year to decide if you want to go pro or not. But I feel like if you're competing in a tournament to win, you're likely going to go pro.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Oshoma, you know, we'll get rid of that guy.
Kota Tsubasa is Makushita 14 right now. Did not realize there was another Koto.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of them that are. So what's confusing, though, is Koto Yusho. Love the name, by the way. So he's Sadogataki, but there's another one. Is it Koto? There's another guy who has Koto that's actually not.
Mm.
Oh, right here. Koto Kuzan. He's Juryo 14.
Mm.
He's in the Arashio Heia, not Sadogataki.
Interesting.
So kind of throws a loop in there where I'm like, oh, it's another Koto guy. It's like, nope, he's the one, he's the exception, not the rule, when it comes to that. But yeah, there's a whole mess. I actually think the Sadogataki stable has, I think, the most representatives in the ranks. I'm like, at least they were like a couple of tournaments ago, they had the most. I know Koto's like, Koto Shigiku's retired, and then there was the young wrestler who retired because they didn't let him out because of COVID. So they might be down a couple guys, but I haven't checked in a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we'll so yeah, how many guys do you want to do from the Micucci division?
Let's do two from Micucci.
Okay, two from there. We can't get the same guy. So if we do, you know, it's gonna be like 1 through 35 or whatever. We can't both have the same guy.
Sounds good.
Jurio, how many do you want to do from
let's
there?
Let's do three from Jurio and three from Makishita.
Okay.
So that way we're like exploring a bit more here.
Okay, sounds good. So starting the first pick'em. And we got 1 through 41 for the top division. So let's go ahead and generate that. And I'll go first, then you, and then me, and then you.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. So first number is 22. And did I say you were going to be picked first?
Yeah.
All right. So you have Takakesho.
Okay.
It's a solid start.
Yeah.
I will pick mine. I have 29, which is Hoshoryu, Magashira 5. So I'm not too upset with that. And then we're going to go with your second in the top division. Wow, these are all 20 numbers. 25. So you have Wakataka Kage.
There you go.
This isn't rigged. So
it's like the two guys are like, oh, that yeah. works.
And 10, which happens to also be my favorite number. I got Shima Naomi. So I have more faith in your team than I have my team so far. So let's go ahead and get that highlighted. Okay, there cool we go.
If we so, did like a draft or something someday too, like you get like a certain amount of like points or whatever.
Yeah, we could. I think we were trying to do that before, yeah. Like when, like probably one of the many projects that I've worked on where we were trying to come up with some kind of drafting system for it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think we should do this. I kind of want to see how this goes and then go from there.
Sounds good. I like all it. Right. All right.
Now, Jurio, we got 1 through 28 here. I'm actually going to click this a couple times just to make sure we're clearing up the numbers. Once again, we'll start with you. So we got 11. You got Enho. Not great, but
no.
No. sitting at Jurio 11 right now. My first pick will be number 9, Mitoru at Jurio 9. Don't know why this is lining up perfectly.
It's getting really creepy.
Well, actually, I think it's because all I did was took like the East 14 and they were on top. Mm. And then I took the West 14 and put them on bottom. So gotcha. Really 1 through 15 is gonna be 1 through 14 is gonna be accurate. Gotcha. So I guess there's nothing spooky going on. so we'll go ahead and do that. All right. Your second guy is gonna be 19. Nishikigi. Yeah, he's been bouncing around Jurio yeah. quite a bit. And my last Jurio guy is 7. It's gonna be Oho, which I'm actually excited about. So yeah, so we're not gonna like follow these guys to the T, but we're gonna keep an eye on them, see how they do.
I got one more. I got one more pick.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Oh wait, no, that's 2 for Jurio.
I was gonna say 3 from Jurio.
Oh, there. Did you say? Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Yes, you did say 3 and I forgot. I got excited. 24. You have Azumaru, who is Jurio 10. So let's go ahead and get him highlighted. Alrighty. And my last pick, because I can count now, will be 11, which I can't because it's already Enho. We'll go with 14.
Jurio 14.
What?
That you already got 14 too, didn't you?
No, I got 7 and 9. You have 11, 19, and 24. So number 14 is Yuka Shoho sitting down at Jurio 14. So I have the second lowest ranked guy in the tournament.
There you go.
So let's go ahead and get him highlighted. All right, now last division we're going to do with the Makishita. This is 1 through a whole bunch of numbers, 122. I took the whole thing because it only made sense to do so.
Yeah,
let's kind of clear up a couple spots here. All right, your first pick of the three, correct, will be 83, and that will be Nishikawa sitting down at Makishita 21. This would be east west, yes, west.
Nishikawa, got it.
All right, So I'm going to highlight him. My first one will be 39. And that is going to be Oyamatsu Omi. All right. Go with that. That'll be mine. Get your next number. Going with 7. So this is going to be a guy who could be relevant in a couple tournaments. Asagiyoki Kusei.
We can learn fun names too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, if nothing else, yeah. Like we pick up the names and they're interesting, and you know, it's unfortunate because I think a lot of guys, like especially with Oho, once they hit Jerio, they switch their name.
Yeah.
So that's what happened, I think, with Kota Nowaka. I don't think he was Kota Nowaka until he got up into Sekitori, like the paid ranks.
Mm.
But I don't believe he was Kota Nowaka on his climb up. I think he changed it.
What was that guy's name again?
Asagiyokusei. He's Makushita 7 East.
Okay.
So Asagyo.
All right. Yeah, I'm not finding him on the. It might be because he didn't fight on day 2. That's probably why.
Yes, probably. Because
there's, yeah.
Makushita okay. fight 7, I think, or 8 days.
Yeah, there
yeah,
is.
I think they do, yeah. Yeah, so top 2 divisions will fight all 15 days. The bottom 4, I think they only fight 7, all of them. Might even be lesser when you get down to like Joni Don.
Mm.
Okay, so my second guy. We got number 49. Oh no, Joe.
Oh,
I can get down with Oh no, Joe.
Oh no, Joe.
Oh no, Joe. Your last guy. It's going to be number 69.
Nice.
Osuji. He is Makushita 8 West.
Makushita 8.
O-T-S-U-J-I.
Otsuji. Got it. I like it.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and get him highlighted as your last guy. And the last guy in the Sumo Brothers sort of fantasy draft. Mr. Irrelevant, I guess, would be what he actually is, because that's how it is in real drafts. The last guy picked. Wow, this guy is the third lowest ranked guy you could possibly get. 120 Ooh. For me. And his name is Kaishin. Makushita 58. All right. Well, we will be keeping an eye on these up-and-coming hopefuls.
Yeah.
And to let you know how they turned out after the Basho, right? That's our next episode.
Yeah, we'll do an episode post Basho. I think this should be our next one. I'm cool. checking right now to actually see if the Sumo app lets you see Makushita fights. I'm pretty sure it does.
So I believe there is a resource that we both know, and I can mention it off, that does have Makushita fights.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think they do the same format that they do with the top 2 divisions. So you should be able to see them, but I can always double check after this and we can
confirm. Yeah, they have them on the app.
Okay, cool. Well, there you go.
That's pretty cool. Jokoru. I can see him fighting right now. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I really like this app. The value is there for like $4 a month.
Oh, absolutely.
You get super deep sumo cuts out of this thing.
Because they give you just like, it's just the fight, right?
Yeah, it's just the fight. Most of the time. Well, it depends. If it's day of, you get like a little bit of the salt tossing. I think they cut some of it out. But if it's like a few days past, they cut it down to just the fight, which seems backwards to me. I feel like to get it up quicker, you would want it to just be the fight, and then you edit it to edit. I don't know, whatever.
Unless they don't want to like edit it that precise where it's just the fight, so that's how they actually get it up quicker, where it's like, oh, we'll give them a 25-second block rather than a 15, and then we'll post the shorter ones later on when we have time to actually edit them down.
Yeah, the only bad part about this is there's no like playlist, so I can't like click day 3 and just play through all the fights, which stinks. You have to click into each individual fight you want to watch.
Yeah.
Which is kind of obnoxious, but I don't know. And there's spoilers all over it too. Like there's no way you could possibly not know who won.
that's NHK had that problem for a while, where they had like it would, they had like the red dot showing like who won, and I was like, well, what's the point? Especially since the way they had it ranked was like the Hakuho match at the time would be at like at the top of the screen, so you'd be watching your video of like your, you know, 15 versus 16, and then you could still see the lower ranked, like you could still see below the video like Hakuho won.
But
now they got rid of it, like kind of like what they did with NPB, where they, you can like cover up the score while you're watching it. You can do that now. It's like you can hide the results, and they made that change I think within the last like 6 months or so, or like last year or something. It's a, it's a, it's way more improved than it was before.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Like, I haven't updated the, I haven't updated the app in a while. I wonder if it's I'm updating it now. I wonder if it's any better.
There you go.
But yeah, it's a, it's a pretty cool app for like $4.
Yeah, I don't have it. I should, probably should. But.
Yeah, especially since you can just you can get to, you know, like BlueStacks or something and just watch it on your computer. Like you don't need it on your phone. Yeah, that's what I
should do.
But yeah, so enough about technology and such. We got our guys here, and and Super Sumo Brothers are back.
Yeah, we are back. We'll be doing our next episode post boss show, so tune in for that one. And yeah, we'll be, I'll likely be tweeting out between between bouts if anything crazy happens. But but yeah,
and hit us with some social media love here.
I actually think that might be in our outro now.
Right? Oh, that's right, it's in our outro now.
Yeah, so we became professionals back in July. We decided we wanted to have both an intro and an outro. So yeah, I think everything should be in there.
Yeah, that's probably fine.
Yeah,
I mean, because we're professionals. Yeah,
yeah, Twitter, Spotify, you know, all that fun stuff.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Music, and Google Podcasts. You can also find us on Twitter at Super Sumo Bros or SuperSumoBrothers.com. Until next time, take care.